Hello there, welcome to the Tech Means Business podcast. This is episode 8, series 1. Over the course of this series, I've been meeting interesting people and having good discussions, maybe featuring companies that are doing things differently or maybe doing something quite new. This is where I guess business and technology come together and meet, and where either sector really has the ability to change the other. Today I'm concentrating on two areas of particular interest to me, open source software and the Internet of Things, and I'm talking to two representatives from the company Canonical. Now, Canonical you might know as the company behind Ubuntu, and Ubuntu you may have heard of. It's probably the most installed operating system in the world. It's certainly the most popular form of Linux. It runs on the majority of the world's clouds, and indeed it runs the majority of the world's clouds. Once you get beyond your desktop, which will probably be Mac OS or the other one, which I won't mention, the chances are you are using Linux if you're on the internet, and it's quite likely, statistically, that that flavour of Linux is Ubuntu. So today I'm lucky enough to be joined by two representatives from Ubuntu. First of all, we have Galem Keo, who's product manager for Ubuntu Core. Ubuntu Core is the particular version of Ubuntu specifically designed to run on Internet of Things devices. And secondly, Loic Minier, who's a software engineer whose specializations are the GNOME stack and the UME project. The GNOME stack is the graphical front end typically found on some Ubuntu versions, and the UME project is, of course, the Ubuntu mobile and embedded project, which has been going for many years now. Gentlemen, thank you both very much for committing your time to me today, and welcome to the podcast. Like, perhaps you'd like to begin. Could you tell us, please, a little bit about yourself and what you do at Canonical?
All right. So I'm Loic Minier. I worked for Canonical since about 12 years, and I've been on the product engineering teams for a long time. I contributed to the Ubuntu desktop quite significantly, and then to the mobile editions of Ubuntu, up to the phone project, and then I moved to the IoT product engineering. And in the last years, I've been helping our customers be successful with Ubuntu building commercial products. And that's where I'm now hitting the what we call like the IoT field engineering team.
Thank you, Loic. And Galem, perhaps you'll tell us a little bit about yourself and also about Ubuntu Core.
Yes, so Galem Keo, I'm the product manager for IoT at Canonical. Overseeing Ubuntu Core and embedded systems on Ubuntu. I've joined the company a bit more than 1 year ago. And I actually have an unusual background in that I'm a rocket scientist by trade, but I've been in the Ubuntu community for more than a decade.
Now, most people's concepts of what the Internet of Things is probably comes from their home. It might be a Nest or a Hive, whatever they're called, an Amazon Echo, that sort of Google hockey puck thing, their smart fridges, maybe smart televisions. The Internet of Things and its cousin, the Industrial Internet of Things, can mean really quite a lot of different things. What's your concept of what IoT and IIoT are?
Right. So for me, IoT is quite a modern take on generally what we used to call embedded Linux. And Linux had progressively made its way into a bunch of different places. And IoT is kind of like a new era where these devices are all getting connected and gathering data and need to be smarter. And I think we're living in a period where we're starting a big growth, not just in the number of devices and the reach of these devices in different places, but also in the complexity of these devices. And essentially, because we have now the full power of Linux at our disposal, you can build more advanced systems that are smarter at the edge, and you can deploy them in more places to do smart things in places where you couldn't before. That's for me basically what's going on with IoT, and you see that in many different industries. You see that in the industrial space, you see that in automotive, you see that in robotics, you see that like basically all over the place. Linux is of course central to that. Linux is kind of like the engine that makes it possible in my eyes. They are like more deeply embedded open source software or non-open source software you can deploy like on sensors and whatnot, like super deep. But I would say like the richness of the ecosystem that was developed around Linux, whether for cloud or for like other, like for server class deployments, can now be applied to IoT as well. And that's where you see like a lot of new creativity right now in the IoT space.
Now, Gallum, your area of expertise is, of course, Ubuntu Core. Are your clients that you work with perhaps more industrial than consumer level?
Yes. So we're working with any client on the consumer side on the industrial side. And there's certainly a lot of interest in the industrial side because there's a perception that the impact of this emerging technology will be far greater in the industrial IoT space. So when we talk about IoT, there are two things that are important to explain at the high level. The first thing is the new form factors of compute. So now it's possible to embed computing in any artifact. The second aspect is that these these few form factors are addressable over the internet. So on the industrial side in particular, there's been industrial informatics, computer science for many decades now, but they weren't addressable over the internet. The devices, the production assets weren't addressable over the internet. They could communicate among themselves, but they weren't addressable over the internet. Now they are. And the consequence is that you have all these industrial production assets that become data producing devices. And with that data, it's possible to create intelligence and to optimize production lines, to optimize production processes, to optimize production operations. This is why there's a perception that the impact will be far greater there than on other sites. And this is why we're working there with any of innovators that want to explore this side of IoT.
Now, we're coming on to an interesting side of things here, aren't we? I think in technology circles, we're often clapping ourselves on the back and saying how marvellous we are, how cutting edge and how forward thinking we all are. But actually, in industry, what we now call the industrial Internet of Things has been around for a long time. I mean, machines have been networked together and they've been controlled. And it's only recently that we've kind of discovered that this stuff, if you like, in manufacturing, for instance, has been going on for many, many years. So in that respect, Gallum, isn't the industrial Internet of Things really quite a mature science?
It is. So I will separate the machine-to-machine technologies, M2M technologies that are established already in the industry from the IoT, which connects everything to potentially everything else, to what's inside of the factory and what side of the factory.
Yeah, that's kind of what they call the OT, operational technology, and IT split,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly. So the operational technology is quite mature. Now we're plugging it to IT, and it opens a whole lot of new possibilities. And one interesting possibility is really AI prediction. So what's hard in manufacturing is, one, to know what's going on in the factory. It's super, super difficult. Two, manufacturing production facilities are always part of a value chain that goes to suppliers and involves retailers, etc. So there's a whole chain that is connected together. And today, it's not possible to connect the dots across the value chain. It's not possible to instrument the value chain. But with IoT, it's possible to instrument the value chain, since you can connect your factory with your supplier, with your retailer, and gather intelligence on all sides and gain insights and optimize, harmonize everything. It's what is possible, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about artifacts, as you say, in terms of the software that runs on them. Now, mostly system on chip and the like, They'll be running very much stripped back versions of Linux, whereby things that aren't really used, might be, for instance, display drivers or an entire desktop environment, obviously, or even something like Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, would be removed. And so therefore you have a very minimal install of just the core, thus the phrase Ubuntu core, I suppose. But Ubuntu's version of this system on chip, or this artifact version of Linux, is quite special in that it's compartmentalized, isn't it? It's in little runtimes, which in the Ubuntu system is called snaps.
Yes, that's right. So indeed, our Ubuntu core rendition of Ubuntu, it's based on the exact same pieces that make up like the success of Ubuntu. You know, the same kernel, same binary kernel is shipped in Ubuntu core as in Ubuntu desktop or Ubuntu server. But it is indeed made smaller and architect around snaps. And snaps for us are an essential delivery vehicle for TIS to be successful. It's really recognizing the new split of responsibilities between the operating system, the hardware support, and the application outdoors. The developers of applications are being decoupled from the operating system, and we're trying to build like this common platform that can be applied to different hardware and can be combined with many different apps, depending on your specific use case, without reinventing the wheel for every single embedded design.
Now, just to make sure I've got this concept of snaps right in my mind, is it correct to say that they're like little kind of discrete packets of application or of operating system section, if you like, that come with all the facilities and all the resources that they need to run as standalone or relatively standalone units?
That's exactly right. In classical embedded, you're doing everything from operating system to applications yourself, and the embedded developer owns everything, if you look at things like Yocto, for instance. But with snaps, it's much easier. You just bundle all your dependencies inside the snaps, and then you basically have a standalone app. And just like apps on your phone, you know, if you have like an Android phone or an iPhone, if you install an application, you don't have to worry about like getting dependencies or anything like that. And it also comes with this idea of like permissions. Snaps are effectively the same thing. They come with all dependencies included. So you install it and it works, and you remove it and it's completely gone. And they also come with this idea of permissions, this sandboxing you mentioned. The idea that the application is not allowed to do everything. You know, you might not be comfortable with, I don't know, the Facebook app or photo app accessing your contacts or your location. In the same way, snaps let you block specific permissions or allow specific things to be done by this application on for your particular device.
And Gallam, I'm turning to you now specifically, but I'm assuming that snaps as well offer a very specific malleability, if you like. So let's say you're working with a supply chain and a new supplier might come online and present a new API. It becomes therefore a lot easier, doesn't it, with snaps, I suppose, to switch out one little piece of software for another little piece of software. Is that the kind of thing, I've put that rather simplistically, but is that the kind of thing that's happening?
Yes, so geez, future-proofness is absolutely essential, especially in the industrial segment where, you know, longevity is the norm. So there's an analogy that I think it's relatable and I like to use to explain snaps to non-technical users. And it's the analogy of the thumb drive. You can think of a snap as a thumb drive that you plug to your system. And that on that thumb drive, your application and all the dependencies are contained. So you can use it, but you can't change anything on that thumb drive. Meaning it's secure. People can use it, but not tamper with it. So this is you can think of snaps as virtual thumb drives that are mounted to your system with an application, and that you can just run. Now, there's more to that story. One thing that is important is the best practices. We're bringing best practices of software delivery to the IoT world. Best practices in terms of the cloud native practices of software delivery that are the norm now in the cloud segment, we are making it possible also in the IoT world, because it just makes sense. It's just the best practices. This is also what Snaps enable. So separation, so modularity, composability, so loosely coupled architectures, DevOps, etc. We make it possible in IoT, meaning DevOps, meaning you install your Snap now on an application, but it's future proof. Your developers will be able to push features for many years, and user will always be up to date. So this is a high level also what Snaps do in the Linux world, embedded Linux world.
That modularity, of course, helps lower update costs, I guess. Because apart from anything else, if you've got a system running on your Internet of Things devices, that's the same system that's running on, for instance, your servers, in the case of Ubuntu server, and also to a certain extent, I guess, on your Ubuntu desktop or maybe your Linux come Ubuntu environment inside WSL on Windows, for instance. That's really going to lower costs significantly, isn't it, for any rollout of updates or flashes to firmware, even that kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. We think they also make sense in the IoT world, and we want to bring these best practices to the IoT world with our core and Snaps. Yes.
I'd like to turn now, if I may, and imagine. Let's say I'm a business owner. I'm rolling out a new range of Internet of Things devices. They're all fairly intelligent devices, and they're going to be deployed in a variety of, let's say, industrial settings. Now, why am I choosing Ubuntu Core? Why am I not choosing an IBM or a Red Hat flavor of Linux? Why am I not choosing the SUSE flavor of Linux for IoT? And isn't the whole point of Linux that it's essentially the same kernel, and that brings you a certain amount of interoperability and a certain amount of platform agnosticism? So why Ubuntu Core specifically?
Yes, there is a wealth of IoT operating systems to choose from. And it's clear at this point that there won't be a winner in the short term. And you've seen a big shift at the end of 2019 from the major platform providers, like the big GAFA companies. They were trying to take it all, trying to be first and take the whole IoT and basically say, I'm the reference, I'm the Android of IoT or something. And it didn't happen. And instead, what we're now seeing is this kind of like a world of interoperability between systems. Now, in that world, what you're trying to optimize for is reusable platforms. And instead of investing in developing your own platform that no one else will be using, it's good to try to reuse a popular platform so that you can leverage the network effects and reuse software that is already there. And that's where I think Snaps are a good compromise, because we have Snaps on a desktop, on server, and IoT. And that's why we have like a large body of available Snaps you can deploy in the IoT space. At the same time, you want to optimize for your development velocity, right? So if you're like a company that is going to do IoT at scale, what you want to optimize for is not necessarily having control on your platform from top to bottom, but instead having an efficient way to bring apps on top of the platform that you've chosen. And again, here I think like Ubuntu brings a unique story where you can develop Snaps on the desktop, and once you're happy with them, you can deploy them on your IoT device. And this kind of like natural stepping path where you have an easy baby step you can take to start programming, you have a comfortable environment, and you have like a community of people that can help you get there, and then you can transition to your production version of your IoT device. I think it's a great learning curve and a great path to get to production.
Now, look, you've been around quite a long time on the UME project. That's the Ubuntu Mobile and Embedded project. As I remember, it started out, a goodly number of years ago as something of a hobbyist platform, I guess. It's certainly developed and burgeoned and blossomed, and it's now something very much more. Do you think it retains that kind of hobbyist element to it, or has it matured? Is it now a grown-up platform?
That's a great topic. So I actually go a long way back on that topic. It was in the early days of the ARM port, the first ARM port for Ubuntu. And I'm also like a Debian developer, albeit like spending less cycle on that nowadays. And yes, initially, I think Ubuntu Mobile was all about bringing Ubuntu to mobile platforms. And it was a mixture of, I would say, community desires and passions to bring Ubuntu to more devices. But there was also a strategic direction in trying to target this growing IoT space, right? The embedded space. With an ARM port, with new devices, but also with new UI stacks. You might remember the attempt at Nokia that was investing in the what we call like the Hildon desktop. It was basically a GTK-based desktop for mobile devices. And basically, it was basically Linux trying to be serious in the embedded space, competing with the iPhone, competing with Android in some cases. And that's how I think like there was like this period of time exploring a bunch of different platforms. KDE and GTK both had like different platforms that were trying to go mobile, and they still do to this point. Over time, it became much more focused commercially, and I think the intent was really to become like a first class mobile platform in direct competition with the iOS and the Androids of the world. Now, obviously, as we've seen, Microsoft fail in doing that. It's a pretty challenging task to build a mobile platform. On one side, you want users to adopt your platform, but users want applications. And application developers are only going to target your platform if you have a certain number of users. And this chicken and egg situation is what makes it hard to break into the mobile space in general and become like a top one platform. But why do you still see UME nowadays? Ubuntu Mobile, UbiTouch, like phone ports of Ubuntu, mobile versions of Ubuntu are very, very popular up to this date because they give you control. They give you back a platform that you can actually patch and drive forward and customize to your liking. And they bring all the that's where we develop like all these nice properties of single OS upgrades and application sandboxing that you critically need on a phone.
Yes, that porting of Ubuntu over to ARM chips, I think, is wildly important. Can't really be stressed too much. ARM chips, as most people know, they're relatively cheap. In fact, fantastically cheap, really. They don't use very much power, and as a result, they don't create a lot of heat. And ARM is even making inroads, or trying to make inroads, into the server market, you know, aiming to take 20% of data center server space in the next 10 years or so. It's high and lofty aims indeed. But as far as IoT goes, essentially ARM chips with a robust operating system running on them can be an incredibly low-cost platform. So where, given that IIoT in particular can be a very much low-cost platform, where's the business value for deploying such devices for most organizations? What sort of, what's it solving?
Yes. So in terms of IIoT, the value is really in transparency. I think the value is in transparency. When you go into factories, you will realize that one pain point of the factory manager, the operations manager, and even the operators, the machine operators, is that they don't have this full visibility on what's going on inside the factory. It's one of their big pain points. And this lack of visibility amplifies when you get out of the factory, when you're a partner, a supplier, or a distributor. Then the lack of visibility becomes a risk for you. You're not sure when your order is going to be delivered, et cetera, et cetera. You lack visibility. And the value really is in creating that kind of visibility, connecting all the production assets to the World Wide Web and surfacing data in real time regarding the operations, regarding the information that are necessary for the production, the inputs, the outputs, meaning and insights can be inferred regarding to delivery, to delays, etc. So things that the value chain cares about. It's really about surfacing data, creating flows of information that are not existent right now, creating them in a real-time manner and in a truthful manner. This is where the value is in IoT.
Yeah, of course. Now, we're just as we come to the end of this podcast, which is very annoying, we're just starting to touch on that subject of the value of IoT and IIoT to, you know, your standard organisations. And actually coming to the end of these broadcasts is always terribly frustrating, because I always feel that we're just getting to the real meat of the matter, and of course the clock's ticking away. If I can just get one final glib question in there, perhaps to like, is there out there, if you like, that killer product, that pivotal product, which is just going to explode in the IIoT space? It's a very difficult question, and I apologise for it, but I'm just, I suppose it's the gadget freak in me that really wants to know what the next big thing might be.
One single device. You're asking me to single one out. It's hard. I see a lot of innovation right now in a lot of different sectors. Two things that I think are really, really cool at the moment are in the general purpose IoT space, industrial IoT, we're seeing the rise of applying data center technologies in IoT. A good example of that is people designing, driving their workloads based on Kubernetes. And they are building edge compute platforms, or basically modern IoT systems, which are going to embed like a Kubernetes engine. We see that with our, I don't know if you heard of Microcates. Microcates is a Kubernetes runtime that we do, and it's delivered as a single snap. You can snap install Microcates on your desktop. And in the same way, you could snap install Microcates on an IoT device and deliver a Kubernetes-driven workload in the field in production. I think this is going to be a very popular design going forward, and I see a lot of traction for basically software developers that have made their way through cloud development and are trying to apply that to IoT and are bringing in their modern CI/CD practices, application design practices, and trying to apply that to the IoT space. And they want to mirror like this kind of like modern architecture. So I think that's a pretty cool modern architecture that is happening in IoT.
Well, I'm very sorry to actually have to draw this one to a close, folks. My thanks, of course, go out to Galam Keo, product manager at Ubuntu Core, and Loic Minier, software engineer specializing in the UME project and also on the GNOME stack.
All right, it was great being here. Thanks for having us, and have a good day, and talk to you soon.
It only remains now for me to say thank you all for listening, and I hope you can join me next time on the Tech Means Business podcast. Until then, bye for now.